remembering, it's easier to remember when you see it written at the same time. We just returned from 2 weeks holiday on Crete, and I was reading a lot of books there by an American guy called Randy Clark. Some of you may know him. He was in the EME Church for Open Himmel just recently, and they will be back in January. And I was so inspired by reading his books. So when I read this text about Stephen, the first thing that sprung to mind in my mind, there is more. I was thinking about Stephen, I was thinking about my own life, and said, there must be more also for me. There must be more for you guys. Last Sunday, we heard a good presentation about spreading the gospel. And you are probably familiar with this text in Stephen. And the interesting thing about Stephen, when he was accused of, as we heard, he didn't even try to defend himself. He just preached to the Sanhedrin. And when he finished his preaching by accusing them of killing the Savior, that's when they dragged him outside, stoned him, and they killed him. So let's look at the first slide. Some key verses about Stephen. Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, as it says in 6.5. So just think about that. He was full of the Holy Spirit. 6.8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. He did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. I mean, you can see Stephen there. He's doing the same thing as Jesus did. He was healing. People were seeing that he didn't only talk the gospel, but he was also doing things. The power of Christ was in him. And they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave him the wisdom that he needed to convince people. And the next verse, that's an interesting verse. They saw his face was like the face of an angel. And my first thought was, have they all seen angels? And did they all know how an angel's face looked? So, but there must be something special about the way his face looked, because they thought, this looks like an angel. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I can close my eyes. I can visualize Stephen standing there. And I can visualize looking up into the heaven, and they see God and they see Jesus standing at the right hand. By the way, did you know that this is the only place in the Bible it says that Jesus was standing next to God? Most places, he's sitting at the right hand of God. I don't know what the significance of that is, but it's interesting. And then in 760, we read, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. I mean, it's exactly what Jesus said when he was on the cross. Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. They don't know what they're doing. Next slide, please. Stephen was known for his spiritual qualities of faith, wisdom, grace, power, and for the Spirit's presence in his life. And when I read this, the first question I had is this is how people recognize me? When people see me, whether it's in the church or in work life, is that what they see? Is that what they say? Per, he is really full of the God's grace and the Holy Spirit. You think about yourself, where you are. Is that what people say about you? Oh, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. There must be something special about that person. What is it? What makes them so different? And because of Stephen and the witnesses of others, I think Jerusalem must have been on fire for the Lord. Because it says in verse 6, 7, the numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. So there was something about these people that really caught the attention of people. The signs and wonders and the preaching of the gospel really got the attention. And people turned and gave their life to Jesus Christ. And I think Stephen's life is a continuing challenge to all Christians. He was the first recorded Christian to die for his faith, and his sacrifice raises question to us. At least it raises question to me. How many risks am I taking as a Jesus follower? Am I willing to, like I said, am I willing to die for him? It's a tall order. It's a hard question to ask. It might be slightly easier to ask, are we willing to live for him, to live for Christ 24/7, every day, at work, at home, in church, with the family, with friends, live for Jesus? And then I was thinking for myself, what does it really mean to live for Jesus? Next slide, please. Is it you read your Bible every day? Yes, that's good. We always need to look at God's word and see what it tells us. You pray before you go to bed or other times during the day. Yes, that's good. We need to be in communication with the Lord. You attend church on Sunday if it fits with your other plans. You give your offering to the church. Is that it? To live your life for Christ? The first sentence is, I can't remember where I stole that, but I think it's a great sentence. I think it was Randy Clark. Stephen was not one of the head down, you don't notice Christians who practiced their religion in private and kept it to themselves when in the public. Let's read that again. He was not a head down, hope you don't notice Christians who practiced their religion in private and kept it to themselves when in the public. When I read that, I had to think about myself. Is that me? Do I keep my head down? Am I ashamed of being a Christian? Right? Do I stand up for Christ? Do I live for Christ? I repeat what we already said. Because of Stephen and others like him, Jerusalem was on fire. They were not head down. They were openly proclaiming Jesus. They were doing miracles and wonders, and people turned to Christ. A great multitude committed their lives to live for Jesus as a result of seeing these signs and wonders and having the gospel presented to them. And again, where are you and I in this context? Are we on fire for the Lord? When we meet, are we open to let the Holy Spirit take hold of us and let us experience his power that can be manifested in so many ways? And when we are out in the world and realize that's where we spend most of our time, do we live for him? Is there much fire amongst the Christians that do you know? A lot of signs and wonder that manifest the power of the Lord. In Acts 1:8 we read, we have all read it many times probably, the promise is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and be my witnesses. This is for all of us. This is not for the pastors. This was not only for the apostles at that time. It's for you. It's for me. for everybody that believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit should be on us, and we should be his witness. Somebody said that being a witness for Christ should spell R-I-S-K. It's a risk. It's risky to be a Christian. But we should live for him. We should take the chance. There's an English Baptist pastor called Phil Moore. He has written a lot of excellent books on explaining the different parts of the Bible. And in one of his books I read, Stephen and his fellow disciples would not simply be witnesses, but witnesses with power. Like any good witnesses in the court, they would come armed with a wealth of supporting evidence. Exhibit A, they would come with spiritual gifts such as prophecy, tongues, and words of knowledge. Exhibit B, their ability to heal the sick and drive out demons. Exhibit C, authority to issue blessings and curses in the power and the name of Jesus. To be a Christian is a commitment. Last Friday, I read in I read in a paper a short story which I think is interesting in context. This is a guy who was driving on a motorway, and the motorway narrowed down, so two lanes were merging into one. And so he was behind a fairly big car, and there was one car coming in from the left. And normally when this happens, you are sort of polite and you let these cars in. But the car coming in from the left had to hit the brakes to avoid the collision with the car that was in front of this man that was driving the car. And the car in front, the guy in the car, he was using his fist, he was using his horn to the driver coming in from the left trying to push in. And then the guy noticed that the man in this truck, he had a fish on the back of his car indicating that I'm a Christian. So that was not a very good witness. And I was thinking about the car that had slipped in behind him and realized that he used his fist, he used his horn to stop him. What did he think about Christians when he saw that the fish was there? I was thinking, I hope that's not me. And I was thinking about myself in the traffic, driving on the motorway. Do I go 100? Do I go 110? Do I stay legally? Do I behave like a good, normal person when I'm driving? I don't have a fish on my car, so nobody. But still, we are, as a Christian, we are committed to live for him. And I think these sort of exhibits are great. That's what should follow Christians. It's not only that we believe in him. We should also live. We should have the power of Christ. The Holy Spirit that was given to us should have an influence on our lives, so our lives should be different. Next slide, please. I think to me this is a very important statement, and it's very serious. Without the Holy Spirit, we can be busy for God, but we cannot be successful. In fact, there was one guy who claimed that if you remove the Holy Spirit from the churches in Norway today, 80-90% of them will continue as is. I don't know whether that's true, but it's a serious thing to think about. You can be busy for God, but unless you work with the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to be successful. Just let that sink in. I had to think very serious about that in my life. Isaiah 61:1-3, it's great when he writes about Jesus, and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Comfort all who mourn and provide for them who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and garment of praise instead of despair. I think this is so wonderful description of what the Lord Jesus did and has done for us, what he's given us. In Luke 4, we can read about Jesus in the synagogue. He was quoting this. And as he read to the people in the synagogue, he stopped in the middle of verse 6:1-2 after the words, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So we are living in the time of the Lord's favor. The next phrase, 6:1-2, and the day of vengeance of our Lord will come true when Jesus returns to earth again. And when I read this again and thinking of it, yes, I'm living in a time of the Lord's favor. But those people that surrounds me, that I meet during the week, that don't belong to Jesus, will the first time they meet him be when he returns and the vengeance is there? Or will I challenge them? Will I be living my life so that my relatives that are not Christians, my co-workers that are not Christians, can come to him and they can live in his favor now? And the interesting thing when you read about this, what Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would do, Jesus himself said, you will do more than I have done. So we should do the same thing. You should do the same thing where you live. In Matthew 10, we read, Jesus challenges his disciples, saying, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus commissioned his disciples to work signs and wonders, as well as preach the gospel. And in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that we all know so well, he finished that with saying, and surely I am with you to the end of the age. So to the end of the age is not here. So we are living with that security that he is with us. He will go with us. We are included in that great commissioning. You have been anointed by God, and with that anointing came a commission. I think most of us have not really understood that the anointing brings a change. The anointing comes so that we can fulfill the commission with the Holy Spirit's power. The task that was given to us is greater than we can do by ourselves. It can only be accomplished by the Spirit's power. When we accepted the Lordship of Jesus, Christ our Savior, we accepted the responsibility. I have accepted Jesus. So I realize I have accepted responsibility to be his witness, to live for him every day. I'm not saying that I'm very successful, but that is the challenge. Next slide, please. I thought it was great last Sunday when I can't remember who, but there was a lady that was up here praying, and she mentioned, and many of the qualities of that is where God is sort of identified with. And one of them was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And you remember when John's disciples went to ask Jesus if he was the one they were expecting, they were told by Jesus, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news are preached to the poor. And again I repeat, we are his ambassadors that represent him on earth. He has nobody else. We are the ones that represent him here on earth. And we carry his authority. With that authority, we ought to see that some of the same things happen in our time. We sung one of the songs that we just sang. I think it read, "Use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand." And you know what the potter does. He takes the clay, he breaks it apart, and he puts it together again to make it better. A great song. "I give my life to thee, to the potter's hand." Was that what we need? That's what I need to do every day. Unless you are very different from me, that's probably what you also need to do. Give your life to the potter's hand so he every day can do with us what he wants to do. So the big question is, was it only in Jesus' time that things like this did happen? No, I say praise the Lord, it does happen in our world too. And all of you read different books, all of you have different context for this. A couple of things that I sort of struck my mind when I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Heidi and Roland Bake in Mozambique. Some of you know probably about them. 20 years ago, Heidi Baker was asked by the Lord, "Do you want Mozambique? Are you willing to give all your life for Mozambique?" And she said yes. So Roland and Heidi has been there for 20 years. It hasn't been easy. But they see people raised from the dead. They see people heal, blinds get their sight, lame walk, deaf get their hearing. And in miraculous ways, food are supplied to all the poor children. And new congregations, new churches are popping up everywhere. People are converted and given their life to Christ because these people are committed and they experience that. The Holy Spirit is with us and we will do mighty things in him. Reinhard Bonnke in Africa, do I need to say more? When you see the multitudes that are gathering there, people are healed. And most of our people are saved because they see the miraculous signs that God is doing through the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. John Arnott and the Toronto Blessing, I think it's great. I think it's great to see that the Holy Spirit is touching people in such a way. I can remember my own, I was in 1994, I was in England. With my wife and Leif Hetland, who was the pastor in Sanders Baptist Church at that time. And we were in Holy Trinity in Brompton, where one of the first places where this new outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in England. Oh, man, it was so good to be there and sense the Holy Spirit's presence and just be filled with that. And on a Sunday, we went to a local church where we were members when we lived in England. Out in Wimbledon, and me and Leif, we were up front and they prayed for us, and we both floored out. I can still remember it. I was on the ground. I was just unconscious. I was there, but I felt the presence of the Lord in such a mighty way. And the funny thing, I still remember two kids sitting on the front row, and one of them said, "Mommy, Mommy, what are those two men doing on the floor?" We were experiencing that the Lord was there. He was blessing us. And Leif, who used to be the pastor on Sanus, he has his own organization now, Global Mission Awareness, and he has experienced great things in Pakistan, Cuba, and the Philippines. God is with him and using him mightily. And people are saved, people are seeing miracles, and it's so good to read about him. And it happens on a smaller scale here in Norway too. suspect that most of you could stand up and talk about something that happened in your life, in the life of friends or family. One of the first things that struck me when I talked was the Evangelii Center. Most of you know about this. This is a Christian organization here in Norway that looks after drug addicts. And so many of them get in there and they testify. They've been drug addicts for 20 years, alcohol, and they meet Jesus and they are saved. And they instantly freed from these bonds that alcohol and drugs have had. Isn't that a miracle? That's the Holy Spirit that can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Meta and I were up in church, and there was a couple coming there. She was there visiting with a friend. He was from Sweden, and he was not a Christian. We were in the cafeteria, and we talked to this man and the lady that belongs to the church. He was a friend of her, and he said, I have cancer, and I'm going to the hospital in a few days. And it's not easy when people say that. And Meta just said, can I pray for you? And he looked at her and said, yeah, why not? So she just put her hand on this man and said a very simple prayer for him. And he almost collapsed. He was hanging onto the counter and said, what is happening to me? What is this? And he went to the doctor a few days later. The cancer was gone. So it does happen here too. It's amazing. So on to the last slide. I'm glad this man has control. Randy Clark, like I said, I was reading a lot of his books on holiday. I got this nice little sort of pocketbook where you can load everything onto something that only weighs 200 grams. There was 12 books there on 200 grams. It was great. And he said in one of his books, moving in the supernatural in the workplace makes the Christian life fun. There is an element of surprise as you go into work every day because you don't know when you're going into the supernatural. If the only time that God can work is when we meet together for church, then we have God in a very small box. And to me, that was a very serious statement. If the only time that we can experience God's presence is when we meet in church, then we sort of limiting God to live in a small box. He wants us to be a blessing in the community we are. That's what we have challenged us. That's what he has challenged us to do. That's what he's commissioned us to do in Matthew 28, to go out and be my witnesses. And then you ask, but can God use somebody like me? Little old me? I'm no good. Remember, your guilt is taken away. You are free. God has saved you. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and me, and all our sins removed. So we are clean in God's eye. So surely God can use me, God can use you. Not because I am good, but because he, in his grace, is filling me with his power and spirit. And then we can say all together, your kingdom come, your will be done.